The title of our topic today is Meaningful Grief Rituals with Mary Kay Perrin. And our theme is What is Spirituality Expressing Our Hearts Through the Arts? Rituals can be tools for transformation. They can allow us to meet with our grief and transform it through a symbolic object and action. Grief rituals exist in Native American cultures, as well as Hispanic cultures and throughout the world. This is from Mary Kay. There will be a ritual at the end where anyone who wishes can participate. Mary Kay is a retired director of De La Salle Language Institute at St. Mary's University for 20 years. She taught English at St. Teresa's College and more than 45 years of teaching. She had teaching experience including post in the Czech Republic, Colombia, and Peru. And I am really looking forward to this service. It's one of my favorites. So thank you, Mary Kay.
Okay, thanks for asking me back. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day, unseen, unheard, but always near, still loved, still missed, and very dear. I found that quote on a gravestone in Ireland, and the Irish, I must say, they have a real honor for their spirits, the stone circles, their cemeteries, and everything. And I come from an Irish Catholic family, so my brother Mikey McClune was a death ritual kind of guy, I gotta say. He attended all the funerals of the relatives, and he would visit grave sites, and he would always bring the flowers, and he saw honoring the dead as kind of a duty for himself. But for example, on our mom and dad's birthday, or their anniversary, he would visit their graves, and then he would text us a message and say, I visited mom today to wish her happy birthday. Or, I saw dad today, and I said hi. It was really sweet. So, I have to say I'm not as attached to cemeteries as he was, but I do believe in the rituals for grief, because I think they allow us to meet our grief head on, as it was said in the introduction. A rock, a candle, flowers, or even Mary's. I've been honored to learn many rituals of their culture. And in addition, through my work with as a volunteer for hospice, I was able, and also the personal deaths that I've experienced in my family, grief rituals really helped me through the pain. And also, I think they helped a lot of people through that grief period, which really never ends, I think. I mean, it goes on for a long time. I have witnessed and talked to others about their rituals that they that loved one loved on their special day, or hugging a tree at a favorite campsite, or sitting Shiva before a friend's death as an invitation to a party and a celebration of life. Or my Japanese student who is helping plan a funeral ritual for her grandmother, where the grandmother received praise and honor before she died. Also in Ireland, when I was there last, we attended a thing called Month's Mind, and that's 1 month after a person dies. They meet at a pub, of course, and they read a poem and sing songs and, of course, drink Guinness. So it's another celebration, but it's 1 month exactly after. Today and yesterday, my Mexican students and also some of my family celebrate the Dia de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. And I'm really familiar with this ritual because my grandchildren go to a Spanish immersion school and because of the students that I taught. The altar is called an ofrenda, which means offering in Spanish. And it's placed on a table, be up. I just went to the market up in Minneapolis. It's just beautiful, colorful and beautiful. My friend Lupita says that November 1st is really for a children's death, or they call it the saints or the angels, and November 2nd is when they celebrate the adult death. So that would be today. There are four elements that are integral for these rituals: water, wind, earth, and fire. Water is symbolized by a little pitcher of water, so that they have water to quench the thirst of the spirit. Wind is the paper called papel picado, which is tissue paper which blows in the wind. And then a favorite, earth would be the favorite food, which is pan de muerto there. And also they make a candy called, it looks like this, there's a little one there. And the fourth thing, and they really love the marigolds because they believe that they bring brightness and light to the dead. And they also always have a candle for the fire. In this altar, they would put photos and mementos of a person's life and anything to venerate the dead. The great significance is honoring the life of the loved one through the symbols. And I have to admit, when my students would bring me these candies, these skeleton candies, I was kind of like, ooh, that's kind of weird. But I realized that we in the United States are more afraid of death, I think, whereas they accept it, and the skeleton is a big part of their ceremony. For example, the pan de muerto, there are bones, the symbol of bones in the bread. And you can taste some of that afterwards too. When my adopted son Clint, who was Lakota, died of alcohol poisoning, and a year later his daughter also died of a drug overdose, I was honored to attend two very non-traditional ceremonies in a very traditional funeral home in Duluth. In front of the open coffin, the shaman, or the pipe carrier, stood and told the story of the deceased's journey from the land of the souls, and we as a family and friends needed to accompany them on their journey. He spoke in Ojibwe and in English and lit a tobacco in his peace pipe, placing moccasins in the coffin for the journey, and we were all served wild rice and berries and stood around the coffin, and we were to eat that for the journey to give the dead the energy to go on the journey. They burned sage and sweetgrass, and they actually never mentioned the addicted life that those two had left behind, that we were to help them on their journey into a new life. During the pandemic in 2020, rituals and funerals were set aside, and those, as you all know, in those final days of dying changed drastically. I know this intimately because in April 2020, my husband Don entered hospice, and even though I had volunteered for years with hospice, I learned truly what hospice does. No one except the hospice nurses could enter the house, and they came with plastic coverings, masks, and even goggles. I moved his hospital bed to the front window of our living room so that he could look outside. And then this changed when I started taking photos of people who were waving from outside, and I posted it on Facebook. And it kind of became an organic ritual after that, and I started taking pictures of all the people that came with their posters saying thanks for the years of showing films at the screening room and at the art center, and thanks for teaching my student, and thanks for working at the co-op. He died May 9th on 2020 in front of that window. And it was as though that simple family ritual was really enough. We had a small one after he died, but that was more satisfying to me than a funeral. For more than 20 years, I've also been a Winona Health hospice volunteer. And about 10 years ago, some of our fellow board members said, that we needed something for the bereaved who were left behind, not just to the process of the death, but also what happens to the family afterwards. So we decided there were several meaningful things that we needed to help with this ritual. First of all was choose a meaningful object, and usually what we did is we tied it to the seasons and make it sacred, which would mean put the name of the person on the object. Use some sort of movement, which would be throwing a stone in the water, lighting a candle, planting a seed. Then interact with others, and then have closure with music and a poem. So we decided to center this ritual around the four seasons because it seems like the change of seasons seems to trigger kind of a new grief response or sadness, like, where are you now that the leaves are turning, or where are you when the crocuses are blooming, or when it's warm enough to go on the river? And the bereavement ceremonies always started with an icebreaker. So in the fall, our object was a small gourd that they would write the name, and they'd also put an adjective on the back of candles from canning jars, and we printed the name on the outside of the candle. In the spring, we make planters, and we plant the seeds, the forget-me-nots. We meet at Farmers Park, and we decorate rocks with designs and names, and then we throw them into Garvin Brook? I don't know what the name of it. Anyway, but one of the most important things about this is we always say the name. That's one thing I really learned with hospice. Say the name and don't be afraid to tell a story about someone that was lost, because it's the person who lost that person remembers the names and remembers that. So it becomes a very kind of a really nice ritual or some kind of a very healing thing for your friends and family. My altar is right there, that box, which is not very good, but it's got hats in there. Don's hat's from the co-op, his Vietnam hat. I've got some things from Clint and Raven. I've got feathers in there, things from Selena, a boat, which symbolizes our little boat that we had on the Mississippi River. So for me, the box is fine. I put it on a shelf, and then on a special day, I can bring it down, light a candle, and then honor that person, that special person, to be my mom, my dad, my brothers, whoever. So, in conclusion, a meaningful group, and everyone does their own thing. So it could be, like we said, taking a flower to a grave, or lighting a candle, or dancing to a favorite song, or getting a tattoo, or talking to a photo, or telling stories about all the things you've learned from that person. So the power of ritual, I think, is something that's really in so many cultures, and some of us in our American culture have kind of forgotten how important it is. And that's one thing I've learned from working with all these cultures, is that life walk beside us every day, tell their stories, say their names. So I would like you, if you want to participate in a ritual, and we will use this. We'll light this candle. We'll start here, and then if you would come up, and I'll start. And if you would come up and just want to take a candle from here and put it in the sand here and say the name of your loved one. I'll start. I'm going to do this for my brother Mikey, the funeral guy. He was very funny. And you could just say one adjective if you want. Not